Significant week. Significant week. Did you have a good Easter yesterday? Good Resurrection Sunday yesterday? I had a great one. I don't know, I'm a softie, you know. Every year when it comes time for Easter, I just absolutely break. It's great. I hope your Easter was great. I hope your Resurrection Sunday was amazing. We have this banquet coming up this weekend, and I can't overemphasize how much of a big deal it is for us. We feel like it's one of the biggest ways that God gets credit for what he's done over the course of the year. And so this Saturday night is going to be just an amazing opportunity for us to celebrate that. We want as many people there as possible. Tomorrow I have to give them some sort of idea of how many we have coming, so please do RSVP on our website. And in between that, we have tonight. And tonight we have some things to celebrate. We have a baptism tonight. Holly will be getting baptized back at the campus house. Be awesome. And tonight also is going to be it's business time. It's time for us to allow Jesus to do some work in us, to take the power of his resurrection yesterday, and to do something brave for us tonight, that we will take a step tonight in some difficult waters. Tonight, we're closing in on the end of our series in Leviticus. It's been a long one, but we've been hacking through and just learning that there is a series that is laid out there in Leviticus. And we learned that as you get closer and closer to the center of this book, the bigger points seem to start highlighting themselves, and we're going to get to that in 2 weeks. Next week, Luke is going to preach for us. Yeah! And tonight, we're just one step away from finishing Leviticus. Luke's going to do his own thing, but in 2 weeks, we'll finish this up in Leviticus, right in the center of the book. And if you've been tracking with us, we've been talking about what we give makes us holy, about what we celebrate makes us holy, about who we're with makes us holy. And tonight one of those chapters that comes really close to the center of that book deals with purity. In Leviticus 18, there's this big long list of people and neighbors and things that you're not supposed to have sex with, and it's like, yeah, I kind of understand that. But it lays it out really clear, because there is something about purity that is really close to the heart of God that he knows if we're going to be on his side and be in the place that we're supposed to be, that we need to take seriously this idea of purity. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite God into that. When I say amen, we're going to pick these KFC buckets up. We got one here, we got one here, we got one here. May have some up top, I don't know. But I just, when I say amen, we can pass those buckets. But for now, let's just prepare ourselves for what God needs to do tonight. Jesus, we're going to ask you with all of our sincerity that you'd make your way into this room tonight, make your way into our hearts tonight, that you'd prepare us right now for what big work you have for us to do. Tonight's topic is important. It is poignant. It is to our heart. It is to this culture. There isn't a person here that doesn't understand the difficulty of purity. And so we're just going to ask for bravery tonight from your spirit. We're going to invite your spirit to do his thing. We're going to let your word speak through us tonight. We're going to let your word speak, and we're going to let your spirit convict. And we're going to be encouraged, because you're not a God that is guilt-driven. You're a God that is calling us to bigger and better things. A pure life is a fun life. It's a free life. It's a life that we all desire. Give us bravery in this next few minutes as we explore that. In Jesus' name, amen. Pass these buckets. And God has been doing some really cool things with me over the course of, well, this whole semester. Tonight, I want to talk on this idea of purity. And have you ever noticed, I don't know if you guys have ever been to family reunions where you've got like a whole array of different people of different ages. You got some 13-year-old girls that are just kind of not comfortable in whatever bathing suit that they're in, but they're in some bathing suits, and so they're off to the side, and there's like a big, they choose to be under the umbrella and wrapped up in blankets, you know, the 12, 13-year-olds over here. And tonight my big question is this: are we walking in the light, or are we sitting in the dark? Are we walking in the light, or are we sitting in the dark? And when we have just even the smallest blemish, or the least thing that might call us impure, the thing that makes us feel just a little bit weird or different or awkward or dirty, we sit in the dark, don't we? That's what we tend to do. Contrary to those 13-year-old girls at this family reunion, you've also got the little 3-year-old boys that there's the slip and slide out, and they've already got their swimsuit off. Like, they're just off because it's just in the way. And they're running out by the road completely naked, and they're just like, ah, naked! And they have absolutely zero idea of impurity. You know, that's what I think I love about hanging out with kids. Like, I know kids aren't all innocent, but it seems like most kids are pure, right? You got these kids that they can be naughty in their own way, but when it comes to sexual stuff, like, purity is, it's usually there, and it's kind of fun to be around. We're attracted to that free life. I want to invite you back to that, because I believe at this age, at where the age you're at and the age I'm at, we have all crossed over a line where that childlike freedom has been lost. I don't know what it was for you. I don't know if something happened to you. I don't know if you stumbled onto a website. I don't know what it may have been, but I believe every single one of us at some point have come to a point where we felt like something inside of me changed, and that purity that I once had as a kid is forever gone. I want to recapture that tonight. I believe that we can maybe not be innocent again, but we can be pure again. I want to tell you my story of how that happened for me. I know it's happened for all of you in unique different ways, and I'm going to bare my soul a bit with you tonight and let you know how that experience happened for me, because I think as I tell the story, it might just help you understand you. I was in seventh grade, and it's before the age of the internet. I know, I'm old. And there were some guys at school, and they were talking about these adult magazines. And they brought one to school, and we were in band. I remember I was sitting next to him in band class. And you talk big talk when you're in seventh grade, like, oh yeah, I'd look at that or whatever. And he called me on it because he brought one to school and he slipped it in my bag. And now I got this thing in my bag that I don't really want, but I kind of want to look at it. And at the same time, it was just this weird, awkward, yuck feeling. And I had a long bus ride home, and so I had this bag, and I carried it with me onto the bus, and it just seemed like every single person getting on the bus was looking at my bag. Like, they knew, you know? Nobody knew, but it just felt like everybody knew. And I wasn't the same person that I was before. I wasn't talking to anybody. I was just trying to hide this bag. I was keeping it under my seat, and nobody was worth interacting with, it didn't seem like. I was just consumed with this secret. I get home and my mom greets me at the door. Oh my gosh. How was school today? It was fine, whatever. And I just run upstairs. And I look at this magazine. Ugh. I felt heavy. I felt sick. There was this mixture of emotions going through me at the time, like, I just wanted to puke afterwards. I didn't know what to do with this thing. Like, can't have my mom find it. I can't find, oh, what do I do with it? So I wrapped it up. Somehow, I remember I just kind of went, I lived out in the country, and I went out the door quick, and I went out to the field, and I burned it. We had a little burning pile in the backwoods, and I burned it back there. And that process changed me. I just wasn't the same person after that. And my mom came to me shortly after that, and she called me on it. She didn't know. She had no idea the details behind it, but she knew something changed. She knew I was different. I acted different. I was impure. I was unclean. And I was affected by it, and it affected other people in my life, even though they didn't know. I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. We're going to read together from 1 John. Let me read this together. It says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." Let's keep it on this slide for a little bit. I'm just going to talk as we go through. We got three slides. We're just going to go through these chapters in 1 John. When you sit in the darkness and you don't walk in the light, it affects people. Your impurity, you might have convinced yourself, is not affecting other people. It's affecting other people. There's a long list of people that it affects, starting with God. Your imperfections, your impurity, your uncleanness, your whatever that has been inside of you at this point, it affects your ability to be in relationship with God, to feel comfortable in God. You'd rather hide in the dark than to walk in the light. I would say that the number one reason, and I think you would all agree, the number one reason that we have emptier seats towards the end of the year is because there are people that leave Encounter because they feel impure and don't feel like they belong here. Sometimes it's because they feel a guilt with the Lord and a conviction with the Lord. Guilt with the Lord is not a good thing. Conviction with the Lord, that's what he does, because he wants you to be great. But sometimes people don't come back around because they think it's you and I that are judging them, and that just can't be. That just can't be. And so I want us to understand how important it is that we will always love people wherever they're at and whatever they're doing. We're going to love them. We might love them in ways that are helpful and not always accepting of their decisions, but we're going to love people here. And the reason that people usually don't come back around is usually because there's a new pattern in their life. And you know what I'm talking about. Impurities affect family. Boy, isn't it true? I don't know if for you, if you guys can relate to this, but if I'm not right, my family suffers. You're annoyed with them. You find yourself fighting a lot. Kind of got into that with my mom. I think I kind of hit on that a little bit. Friends. You affect your friends. You're not as present. You're not as aware. You live in what I like to call a fog. And you become isolated. And it becomes clear to everyone else that something's just off with you. This fog that is over you, if you are in an impure relationship, it affects the people around you. You don't even know how it does, but it does. There is this inability to really be as sharp as you used to be and to be aware of the needs of the people around you because you're kind of obsessed with this thing, and it just creates this fogginess around you that's not, it's not you. The person that you may be in an inappropriate relationship with or an impure relationship with, it affects them, especially, I mean, if you're not going to marry this person, you don't end up being with them, it creates baggage for both you and them, and comparison and shame. And if you think about it, it's always regretful to share your most intimate, private, personal self with somebody that probably won't ever be your friend long term. And that's, I think, one of those things that I just need to say out loud, that I think most of us in this room know it, but I don't think that we often think it through on the front end. Before you get into a relationship, before you get into even a hand-holding, just a kiss relationship, what you're doing when you cross that line is you are saying that I'll never be able to go back to being true friends like we were before. It just won't happen. And the further that we go physically, the less opportunity there is to go back to just being the way things were. You cross the line, that's the consequence of intimacy, is that you can't go back to being friends. And so if we're going to have an intimate relationship, if we're going to have sex with somebody before we're married, and then we don't get married and we come back, we've lost. They just won't be our friend even. And that's hard. That's hard to go through life. Some of you are aware of that. Some of you are saying, well, you know, hey, it's 6 months from my wedding. I know I'm getting married. I'm just going to do this now. It's fine. There's not as much of a consequence because I'm going to marry this person. Well, I got something to say about that. The first is this. You don't always know till you know. And I've talked to numerous people that are like, I'm confident this is the person I'm going to marry. And it wasn't. But the other thing that I need to let you know, and this has happened, I've seen this a number of times. Randy Garris speaks about this. He's our relationships grandpa. He kind of gives us advice all the time, and he's been someone that's given us advice over the years. And he says this, years of research have shown that when you are in a physical relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, there is, before you're married, there is some sort of cover-up. There is some sort of lying. There is some sort of, not around grandma. We're not going to let her know. We're not going to let her, you know what I'm saying? There's some sort of cover-up that goes on. And that's almost more of an intimate relationship, that you guys are having a shared lie. But 5 years after this person is married, after this couple is married, the girl usually hears a lot of the same things from her husband as he goes on a business trip. And she's like, that sounds a lot like what you used to tell your mom. I'm not sure I believe you. Guys, if you want to have your woman believe in you for the rest of your life, do the hard thing for 6 months. And she will know. She will know that you are going to be faithful for 60 years. Do the hard thing now. Be the man of character now. And you will be the leader that she will follow for the rest of your life. Lastly, the person that you hurt is yourself. 1 Corinthians says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Flee from sexual immorality. It's interesting that verse there says flee. Almost all other sins that we have, we're called to almost fight, you know? Lazy, let's fight it. Apathy, let's fight. Get in there. Let's face this thing. Sex, flee. Run. Get out of there. you won't win. You can't win. It hurts you. And I think that's really one of the things that I've seen and you've seen, and this is just our nature. This is just the nature of this generation. And I feel for you guys. I feel for my kids. I feel for all of us. This is an age, internet age, where it is so prevalent and so on us, and immorality is so prevalent, and pornography is so relevant and so in your face. I get it. And I know that that's hard. And it seems as if everybody that goes through these things feels like it's personal and it's deep and it's maybe the worst of all situations. My situation's worse. Some of you heard my story and you're like, that was tame. But here's the reality. No matter how small or how big, it's all impure. And impurity, taking you from purity to impurity, just puts you in a different camp. And it's all serious. It's all serious. So, I feel for you. So, we're going to start getting good news now. All right? Let's keep reading. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I'm going to stop right there in the middle of that sentence because I just want to emphasize this walking in the light. Guys, walking in the light with those who are in the light, it is so powerful. It is so helpful. It is so good. You by yourself are going to live in shame. You by yourself with the impurities that are all around us are going to find your ways into the shadows. You're going to find your ways into the dark. But if you are with other people that are walking in the light, it gives you the confidence and it gives you the know-how to follow along. That's why small groups are so important. That's why community is so important. That's why this family is so important. We need to be walking in the light, helping each other walk, not sit in the dark. Let's do it. One of the things that was so encouraging to me is that my kids, we sent them to a school when they were younger that had a reputation of being a little bit on the rougher side, and I wouldn't trade it for anything because I was given advice by the same Randy Garris, actually. He talked to me and he said, hey, I want you to know, character finds character, light finds light. If your kids are walking in the light, they'll find other kids that walk in the light. Hey, if you walk in the light, if you are a person of character that is pursuing God and his purity, you will find other people walking alongside of you. It will happen. But if you run to the corners, you'll find other people there too. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And this is the power of everything comes right next. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You say, man, you made me feel really guilty earlier. Don't let me make you feel guilty. The power of Jesus' blood has purified all of us here. Isn't that good news? Oh my gosh, that's good. He has paid it. The blood of Jesus that we celebrated yesterday, actually Friday, and then how he rose from the dead yesterday is the same power of the resurrection that gets to live inside of you tonight. Let us understand that this is not about power of positive thinking or just being with good people that are going to make you good. There has to be serious payment for serious consequences. All of us know the serious consequences of impurity. We know what that feels like. We know all the people that's affected, our friends and our family and our whoever else. But we also know that Jesus paid a great debt and a great price, and his blood does free us. By nothing else, we are freed by his blood. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Man, some of us, some of your friends, some of the people we hang out with, they are convinced themselves that they're not living in sin. They've convinced themselves that it's okay, that whatever they're doing is okay. I'm telling you what, 98% of every person that tells me that they are an atheist in the past, anybody that's told me they're an atheist, I usually can look at them and I can usually say, so what is it that you are deceiving yourself about the truth? What is it that you're afraid Jesus is going to change in your lifestyle? That's what you're really afraid of. Last page. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you, some of you need to confess. I know that a number of guys, usually, every year it seems like there's a small group of guys that one person has enough guts to say, this is what I'm struggling with, and the rest are like, yeah, me too, yeah, me too, yeah, me too. And there's some power in that, but I'm going to tell you that there's not healing in that. There's not forever power and healing in that. That comes from the blood of Christ. And we think that if we just keep confessing our sins to each other, that's going to be the thing that fixes us. It's not. It's the blood of Christ. Make no mistake. But understand this. There is power in taking a step out of the darkness into the light and say, you know what? I'm going to take a first step and say, I've got blemishes. I've got problems. I've got things that I need to confess. And when you confess them and they're in the light, guess what? Satan has no power over that. Sin has no power over things that are in the light. It's only in the darkness that he has power. So maybe some of you need to take a step and confess. And I think this verse can mean that your confession can be to the Lord. It can be between you and him. But some of you know the power of what it might look like to be between you and another person. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes in Life Together, he writes this really awesome line where he talks about how your confession to one other person is felt by the whole community of God. And it's like that whole fog thing reversed. If you can talk to one person and let them know where you're at, something comes off of you. Something comes off of you in a way that you can walk in the light now, and everyone's like, something's going on with that person. They don't know the details, but they can tell the fog is gone. I'm going to ask for you to be brave tonight. I'm not going to make anybody do anything that they don't want to do, but towards the end of tonight, in just a few minutes, I'm going to have the band come up and we're going to sing, and there's going to be two more songs, and there's going to be a prayer team that's going to huddle back there. And this might be the night where you just go back. You don't have to tell them the details or anything, but you might be able to just go to somebody, just somebody, and say, you know what, I don't want to live in the darkness anymore, and I want to be like a childlike freedom person again. I want to live in childlike freedom. And somebody will pray with you. It's an option for tonight. Got one story I want to close with, and then I'm going to ask the band to come up, but I'll pray. I'll pray, band, then you can come up when I pray. But there's a guy named Greg that was a student here years ago, and he was living with his girlfriend. And Greg was an awesome dude. He was like growing like crazy with the Lord, and he was coming to me, and he was talking about, you know, what do I need to do next? And we kind of tabled that girlfriend thing for a while, and things came to a head where I had to be clear with him and say, you know, Greg, I want what's best for you. God wants what's best for you. And to be honest with you need to get out of that apartment. And he told me, like, hey, money's tight. I don't know how we're going to make it apart. It's just a lot easier. I don't know where she's going to live. I don't know where I would live. I mean, it was inconvenient, and it was expensive. It was hard. She didn't quite understand why. All of these things. And I remember he gave me this line. I just loved it. I've used it a lot since. And I said, I know that this is really hard. And he said, it is. He said, but I'm not afraid of hard, I'm afraid of wrong. How about you? How about us? How about as a community taking this big step? We've been taking steps across the line all semester towards a holy life with the Lord, and there has been so much positive recourse, has there not? We've seen it. We've seen it in our giving and in our celebration and in our friends that we pick. This is a big one, and it is relevant to all of us tonight, and I wonder if we would be brave tonight before the Lord. And maybe some of us would go in that back corner, and we would confess, and maybe some of us will just sit with the Lord, and we'll let him pour over us. I don't know what it takes for you, but I'm going to suspect, I'm going to trust that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that we have celebrated, who rose from the dead yesterday, will be present with us tonight. Let me pray. Let's stand. And the band can come up. Jesus, I want to thank you for your desire to make us all we're supposed to be. You want us to be healed. You want us to be whole. You want us to be pure. Tonight's lesson hits right to all of our hearts because this is where we live. This is where we're at. This is the life we live, and we want to be called out of the darkness tonight. We want to live in the light. We want to walk in the light. We want to have the freedom that we once did. And Father, it's true that there are so many people that in you live in freedom like a childlike kid, and just like we like to be with kids, we want to be with those people because your people that are pure are attractive. We want to be attractive kind of people. We want this to be a community that's pure, that values purity, that is going to be the kind of community that's going to help each other. We're going to call each other. We're going to encourage each other and challenge each other. We're going to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to end tonight by reading to you a song. Don Chaffer is the head musician for Waterdeep, and he's been a big influence on me over the years. And I was just looking at the song earlier today, and it just speaks. And so let this song that I read to you be our call into our worship time to prepare your heart. It's called Eden Again. He came rolling through the hills just to be with me. And I was young, and I was pretty, and I was free. It was before the time that I knew that I could make the rain clouds form in my spirit sky. It was before the time that what I wanted had to be tied to this old world and all its slavery. And life was like a dream, and everything was clean. And I was free. Sometimes I wish that everything could have just ended there and that my body and my soul would have been just caught up in the air. I'd have gone back to him who's shining everywhere, and I would have drunk in all his water and breathed in all his air. But I chose to eat my fruit, and I chose to go my way, and I chose to throw my innocence away. And I've learned my lessons hard, and I've learned my lessons well. And I have tasted all I care to taste of hell. I think I'm ready to return, to let the fires I started burn. I think I'm ready to be born again. And I'm going to come rolling through the hills just to be with you. And you'll make me young and pretty again, and you'll make me free. And this time around, instead of trying to stand, I've decided to lean and let you wash me in your blood and make me clean.